and break the whites into a little entering bowl.
Into the Soup, the most fun you'll have in your kitchen with your clothes on. It's about jumping in, getting your hands dirty, and getting off of the recipe page. We take a bite out of life and we live in the now. Blazing trails, meeting characters, sharing stories, and making things happen. So open your ears and close your mouth, and let's get Into the Soup with Heidi Lee.
Hey there, boys and girls. This is Heidi Lee, and you are Into the Soup right here on KWSS 93.9. My rock and radio redhead, Emily King, is partially here.
Hello.
How you doing?
I came to the party.
You did?
Despite my
injury. I was afraid you weren't going to.
I made it.
I know. She texted me, and she goes, I pinched a nerve in my shoulder, and I can run your board, but I won't be able to talk. And I'm like, okay, did the pinched nerve affect your vocal cords? Because I don't recall that from anatomy.
I couldn't breathe. It just knocked the wind right out of me.
How did you
and
do
then
it?
I was doing push-ups.
Oh.
Incorrectly, apparently. Because that's not supposed to happen. So I was the one swerving on the road because I couldn't look at my blind spot. So I apologize.
That's okay.
Not
I
drunk,
hope no one
just
was hurt.
In pain.
That's really strange because I had a bad shoulder this weekend by doing a push-up. Okay, remember my left shoulder is totally fried?
Right, yeah.
Right, and I had that big cortisone injection. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when I'm on vacation, I really don't drink that much.
Right.
Right. Even especially with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, they challenged me to a push-up contest. I'm thinking, I really shouldn't do this. After an hour and a half
but then
of
you're
kayaking.
Like, yeah.
Yes, I
do
am.
Do it.
But it got better. It got better.
Good.
So, yeah, spent 8 days at the lake.
Yay.
In Washington State.
It looked like fun, and you kicked everybody's butt at gin.
Progressive just that gin. Last one.
I saw that scorecard, and I was like, Sammy, got to step it up before you go to college.
I won. Yeah.
But it was, and it was the only one you took a picture of. I like your style.
Perfect. Yes, exactly. So, remember the last show we did, not last weekend, because that was a rerun with Stephen Jones and Jacob Catino, mm-hmm. but the one that we did with Jennifer Caraway
right.
and Colby Emerson? So remember we talked about the bzzz effect?
Yes.
Okay, it followed me to the freaking lake. I'm not kidding.
They were swarming me at the lake yesterday, too.
So everybody knows, we are at the Point Hilton Squaw Peak Resort, and we're with Executive Chef Rebecca Tillman, mm-hmm. and we are with the F&B God, Patrick Wilson.
So that's a good introduction.
We're at the hole in the wall.
That, I think.
It's fun, isn't it? Thanks for having us. And we're at the hole in the wall, which sounds like a perfect place for us, doesn't it? Just
yes.
Like, you know, just hide us away. We don't need to be any place fancy, but we've got some cocktails and some snacks and some soup. So a couple of weeks ago, we did a show, and I was talking about the, like, four bee infestations I've had at my various homes, mm-hmm. and that I finally had to have someone come out and spray it with wasps the day before I left for this trip to the lake. So I get to the lake. Get there, set everything up, go outside, and it's one of those houses that has like a tree trunk going through the deck.
Right.
Cut it off and make it into a table. And I'm sitting
what?
There with a cocktail.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
I know,
you
it's
know,
really
one of those
cool.
normal houses.
Yeah, just one of those normal houses.
Right.
You know, one of those normal houses with a tree right. trunk that goes through it?
Right.
And I'm like, no way. Hornets. In the oh. trunk. And I'm like, seriously? So I call this guy that we rented it from. His name is Greg Singer, and he's an interesting person. And so he brings his buddy over, and they're dropping off more supplies because they're boys and they've never rented the house out. So it's like, can you have like just a couple rolls of toilet paper to get us started? Maybe some coffee filters.
Like, no, this is nature.
So they made this huge trip to Costco, and he comes out and he's got this pesticide thing on his thing, and that's what he sprays these bees with.
Oh my god!
I'm like, holy! I'm like, run in the house.
So he right. just pissed him off, basically.
Yeah, he
that's
right.
all
and
that happened.
Craig goes and stands out there, and he's just got one of those cans of the foaming
it's like
spray.
Raid.
Right.
Like
raid.
Oh my god!
Grief.
And he sprays them, and they're all flying around, and he's like, yeah, this will take care of it.
Oh my god!
I know. So yeah, so bees.
Oh, bees
again.
So the way that you keep them out of your soda is you create a bee guard by flipping the tab over across the top. I learned that yesterday.
Oh,
actually, I made it
you
up.
Mean like a flip top?
And yeah, then you just, yeah, just kind of turn it around the can so that you're covering
so they can't
the little.
Go in it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty fancy.
Call it a bee guard. Copyright
bee
Emily.
Guard.
Trademark.
Bee.
Or trademark.
Trademark.
What is it? What is it if it's an object?
It's a trademark.
Okay, trademark.
Yeah, it's not
Emily
a patent
King.
Because it's just that's just such a slight different alignment of a you know a flip top. I don't think they'd let you get away with that.
We have a garden on property at Rico's, and I'm deathly allergic to bees. So anytime I go out there, I always tell one of the cooks, if I'm not back in 10 minutes, come find me because I just got stung.
With an EpiPen.
Right. Bring the raid. So I'm sure when people drive by and look at me, I'm like the one just freaking jumping out. Right. I see OB and then I like run like a little girl out through the parking lot.
Do you squeal too?
I do. So if I go out there, I have like my headlamp on at night trying to like do anything in the garden like so the bees are not at night. Right. It's awesome. Like a miner, right. Yeah. It's pretty embarrassing.
How are you with bees, Patrick? Are you cool with them? Can they land on you and you don't have a problem?
No, I kind of had a traumatic experience when I was in third
grade. Oh, do tell.
I didn't really go near them.
What was your traumatic experience with bees?
Well, my dad took me to breakfast and we were coming home.
Well, isn't that how they all start?
One day.
Well, we were coming home from breakfast and you know the little water drains in the front yard that the city guys go around to and check your water levels and all that
okay.
kind of thing?
Okay, this was here?
At my house, yeah.
Okay.
And we were getting out of the car, walking up to the front door, and I walked over that, as I always do, and there's a beehive in there, and I got stung probably 6 or 7 times running up my leg. And,
yeah,
and I was traumatized from that day forward, and I don't mess with bees at all.
I wouldn't.
I don't think there's anyone that's like, yay, bees. Yeah, you know, I mean, maybe like the apiary, is that who?
I think that is an apiary, yeah. But they wear gear.
But they wear gear, you're right.
You know, and they sing to them. And they smoke them out, you know.
Right,
so
they're
friends. They're like, oh, I feel
when
so
I lived
much
in North Carolina and I was working, when I lived in North Carolina, I was working at a property that had their own beehives and the guy would
come
around.
Isn't that the Biltmore?
Yeah, Biltmore State. And good memory.
Not too hard.
And he would come around and bring us the honey. And one day he had his little like gear on, his hat or whatever. And there was a bee inside. I was like, oh God, there's a bee there. And he was like, oh, it's dead. It's fine. I'm like, do you talk to the bees? Like, he's probably 90 years old, you know? And he was like,
yeah.
Every once in a while, he was like, I'll sing. And I think they like my singing. I'm like, I just imagine him like going out there, like Sound of Music, like singing, to
like
the
bee whisperer, like,
right? Yeah.
What do they like?
Doo
wop, like
I don't
some Motown.
It's got to be like bluegrass. We're North Carolina, so it's like bluegrass or country or something.
Well, it probably varies. You know, it goes kind of like a flight of wine, and it varies from all the other the strongest to the because they don't live very long.
Right, right.
So it's a pretty quick symphony, you know?
Right.
What does the Queen song sound like? Queen?
They listen to Queen.
I had a girlfriend in high school. She was driving down the road, and she had, like, a little skirt on. And a bee flew in and flew up her skirt.
Oh, my gosh.
And she stopped at a stop sign and got out on, like, a major road. And she's, like, lifting her skirt up in the air. I'm like, God, I wish I had a camera.
Couple of passersby got lucky that day.
It was really, So again, I got bees with me again. So we had my daughter and two of her best friends with us, and they're all going to college in like 3 weeks. And so it was the last time.
Right.
And it was a very, very, very freaking expensive trip. But I thought, you know what? I don't care.
Yeah, you were in planes and stuff. What
that was free.
How?
So my girlfriend Dawn, whom I've known since I was 5 years old. She has a rescue farm out there, and it's called Survivors Rescue LLC. Everybody go check it out on Facebook. And she rescues animals. She has a zebra, and she has, 35 head of horses. She has, a horse that's very similar to a Budweiser horse, like a Clydesdale.
Yeah.
It's magnificent. He's probably 19 hands high.
Wow.
Pure black, white forelocks. You would have flipped.
Cool.
He was so beautiful. Cockatoos, bunnies, chickens, the whole shebang. And her husband... They're in commercial real estate and building as a pilot. And he has a Cessna 185 seaplane. And so he was like, when we were on the lake, he's like, we'll fly over and pick you guys all up. But there were too many of us, so we drove an hour and a half to their lake. And so all the kids, for the first time in their lives, got to go up in a little, single engine propeller plane
awesome.
And land on Lake Ponderay.
Wow.
Yeah. Cool. So we were sitting around the table at the airport on the way home, and their most favorite grateful thing of the entire trip was being with her.
Wow.
Yeah. And the second thing that they were most grateful for unanimously were Zips French fries. nobody'll know these.
What's so good about them?
Okay, what's the sauce? It's the sauce. And I've been eating these at midnight since I was in high school. So that's the last stop you made before you got home to kind of, get your mouth clean and stuff.
Right.
But the sauce is like a combination between tartar and ranch. And they're those crinkle-cut French fries, so they're kind of big, but they're, perfectly done. And now they sell them in tubs, with tubs of sauce. So I took my girls through the drive-in, and I put them in the back seat, and they were they shut up for the rest of the trip. These are so good. Wow. So that was their second. But anyway, thank you, Don Miller Dempsey and Scott Dempsey. Yeah,
that's
it was
awesome.
Pretty cool. So I got to take a ride in the plane, too. It was pretty neat.
What an awesome summer before college. Mine was spent in an assisted living dining room.
With well, a friend?
That's
or
exciting.
No, that was my summer job before college.
Oh.
A lot of fun.
Okay, I'm sorry. Did I make you feel bad? I have to take you to Briar
no,
Patch.
No, what was your summer before college?
I don't recall.
You don't?
No.
So it was really fun.
Well, I was probably working. I think I was working at Burger King. Oh, I know what it was. My dad made me get my real estate license. So I was sitting in, like, you know, old driver's ed. You guys are too young for this. Flipping through, like, a little slide machine teaching me real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a hoot. I didn't go very far. But we always went camping and stuff when I was a kid. So
nice.
We probably did a lot of that. But I think this one is going to stick in their head.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. It was really cool. So should we take a little break?
Yeah.
It's a good time for that. Okay. We are here at Point Hilton Squaw Peak. I got to remember that. With Chef Rebecca Tillman and Patrick Wilson and Emily King. She's going to, in an hour or two, man, I'm going to call
right
her. She's going to be like, what? It's going to be awesome. Hopefully the people at the joint can help her out. Ooh, take that where you
I'll
want
shout
to. This
out.
Is Heidi Lee, KWSS 93.9. You're into the soup. Don't touch that dial. Hey, boys and girls, this is Heidi Lee. Welcome back to Into the Soup. So when we were on our little break, Emily was talking about the fact that she hurt her shoulder and it made her feel so old. Okay, so I, for an act of omission, we were at the beach. Neighbors next was having a party. They're like, come on over. And I'm like, okay. So I get up to go back to my beach. And Emily's like, I feel so old. And I'm like, oh, please. So I'm walking back, and I hadn't been drinking.
Right.
And someone yells to me, hey, it was really great to meet you. That was awesome. And I turned around to say, like, oh, hey, thanks a lot. And I tripped on a line that was securing a boat, and I bit it, face planted right into the sand. And I hit it high enough so that the entire front of my shin is, like, black and blue. I know. At least the kids are there, and, you know, and then you pop up really fast. Hey, yeah, sorry.
Nothing to see here.
I know. They're like, you're not the first. It's okay. Like, what do you set that up for people?
Right here.
for all the renters that come right. with it, we can trip that
they
guy.
They have, like, a video camera set up.
Right?
There's another one.
Fall into I know. Ka-ching. Bill wins. Okay, so anyway.
It's hurting. Stop.
Okay, I'm sorry. Aww. No making Emily laugh. Just don't listen. Oh, that's not possible for you. You have headphones on. Okay, so I have here Wisconsin cheese and tomatoes. So let's just go with what you're talking about. So you've gone cooked all over. And a lot, most of it domestic, right, in the United States?
Right.
Okay,
yeah,
so you were in Wisconsin. We've got these lovely cheeses. And you're like, when you're in Wisconsin, you just treat cheese differently.
Right, so never thought I'd ever move to the frozen tundra, but I did.
Oh, right.
I had a great opportunity to work at a five-star, five-diamond property.
Okay.
So at the time, it was one of 23 in the world with that distinction.
Were you an exec there?
I was an exec sous chef.
Nice.
So when the executive chef that I had worked for the last 10 years or so at a couple different properties, we kind of travel in packs. So that's what happens as a chef. You try to tend to stay together and keep together. But, you know, he called me one day and was like, what about Wisconsin? I'm like, what about Wisconsin? Heard it's beautiful. He was like, well, why don't you come up here? You know, might be an opportunity. So I kind of begrudgingly went up there.
Just try not to smack your mic thing. Sorry,
I'm
I was trying to do it with sign language, but I don't do that really well.
So I went up there, and it was beautiful, great opportunity. But, you know, they're very much about beer, cheese, cows.
Right.
Probably more about beer, which is always a good thing.
Right.
But
I think
really,
cheese has more applications than beer.
Really.
Yeah.
Cheese was like, you know, everyone's like, oh, Wisconsin and cheese. But it's really like
it is
fundamentally what they're about. And great cheese. It's not just American cheddar, you know. I mean, really, truly great cheeses come from Wisconsin.
Aren't they doing some more artisan cheeses now,
absolutely,
too?
Yeah. Absolutely. So there's great companies that you can't, I mean, they don't even, you can't get their cheeses outside of Wisconsin.
Oh,
they're
really?
So good
nice.
That they don't feel the need to even import them or export them anywhere. So
there's a wall.
Right, there is. They do that with beer, too. There's beer said that they don't let leave the state. So
how far north were you?
We were about 45 minutes north of Milwaukee in a little town called Kohler.
Okay.
So I was at the Destination Kohler, the American Club.
Okay.
So
So you
just have
a
different relationship with cheeses now, which I never thought. You know, I always loved cheese, but really, I love cheese now more than ever.
You love cheese now more than ever?
Yeah, I think I do. So, and Wisconsin cheeses, you know, they really have great cheese.
Are these Wisconsin cheeses?
So we have two Wisconsin cheeses. So we have Buttermilk Blue, which is Roth Case, which is probably the best blue cheese that you can get domestically.
Okay.
My opinion, but I'm probably right. And then,
yes, chef.
No, I'm just kidding. And then we have a Cervecchio Grand Cru Parm, which is a little bit better than just normal, you know, Parmesan Reggiano. It's domestically made. It's just a really nice Parmesan cheese.
And it's cow milk.
And it's cow milk.
Okay.
Yep.
Nice.
So,
and so the heirloom tomatoes, you said you grow
we
those
grow,
here.
So
on
we have
the
a garden at Rico's in a little urban garden. So
Rico's is, tell everybody,
Rico's
because I'm not that familiar, I apologize.
Rico's is one of our restaurants on property. It's our 3-meal-a-day signature restaurant on property, so open every day of the year. And we have an urban garden that's attached to it next to one of the patios. So when I first arrived here about a year and a half ago, they were growing things. They had vegetables, but it was nothing they ever really used. It was more of like a show garden.
Oh.
So, and they really did it. So they really did, you know, they had the...
Whatever they're going, yeah.
Well, they had the right intention. I think it was, you know, to really showcase some different vegetables, but it wasn't anything really they could use. So it was like one little tomato plant and some other, you know, one like, I'm trying to think, there was a squash plant. There's some other things there, but it wasn't really enough to do anything with. So
you went in and changed
it
all.
I went in and said, you know what? If we're going to do it, we're going to rip everything out. We'll start over and we'll do it seasonally and experiment. And I hadn't lived back in Arizona for 10 years.
Okay.
So being in other properties around the country that, you know, is very seasonal, Arizona, I forgot, was not.
Right.
So it's hot or it's not hot is really the season. So we knew tomatoes grew well and peppers and chilies and things like that. So I think the first year we planted tomatoes, we must have harvested probably 200 pounds of tomatoes out of that little garden.
Kidding.
Which is crazy when you see it.
And these were just harvested here
too?
So
these are harvested,
you've got some big old shade going
on
over there.
We have, I mean, we do have some shade.
Exposure?
It's very much exposed. But,
okay, so are you
but
on the east side, west side?
We're on the east side.
Okay, so that's nice because they get that summer, the early morning sun.
But they don't get the real hot, hot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, and we're kind of in transition now because it's gotten too hot.
Yum.
So we're probably at the last stage of our tomatoes at this point. And then we're going to transition. Oh, thanks. We're going to transition it out again. But we have a massive rosemary bush. I don't think we've bought rosemary at this property for at least a year now. So
save you some cash.
Right. But you know, at the end of the day, we're teaching the cooks where things come from. We can say that we actually use the stuff that we grow.
And
you know, we do the right thing by that and making sure that at the end of the day, for me the most important things is to make sure that the cooks know where things come from.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that a tomatillo grows on a bush and it's what it looks like. And there's many types of basil, and, you know, we use herbs and things in different beverage, you know, at the bars and stuff. We grow the herbs here that we would put in.
Yeah, that's a big
drinks,
deal.
Which is huge.
Actually, that's a great segue to Patrick Wilson.
The one and only.
The one and only. F&B director, you know, is actually looking at your little bio that Chef sent me, and it sounds like some introduction for, like, the dating game.
Yeah. It's so funny you say that because when we were, I was like, Patrick, tell me where you worked at. And someone's like, are you doing his dating profile?
Oh,
I was like, I might just do that.
Because like, you know, it's totally the dating game.
It was
like,
really funny.
You can also find it on Match.com.
Right.
Okay, well, yeah, I did that and it didn't work out very well.
Plenty of fish.
I diligently revolutionized and refreshed the beverage program at the resort.
That's right.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Is that on your Match.com site?
No.
Not yet.
That's,
I can make drinks for you, baby.
That's right. I can make some pretty good drinks.
This is a good drink. We can talk about it now because it's working.
Sure.
So it's mmm.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of kick to it. My big thing is I love spice.
Okay.
So anything spicy, habaneros, jalapenos, any kind of chili, I like to use that incorporated into the drinks.
Okay.
So what's
is
your
that
drink?
Popular, though? Because, I mean, as Arizonans are going to go, yeah, but you might have people from Wisconsin.
Right.
They're going to be like, mm-mm.
See, that's the fun thing. That's where it comes into how you persuade somebody to, hey, let me try this. You know, and if you don't like it, I'll make you something else, but I almost guarantee you're going to like it. Plus,
nice.
It's almost like one of those when in Rome situations.
Right.
Okay.
I think people try it just because it's more adventurous for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they can go back and say they drink a jalapeno, but...
Exactly.
You know, I mean, they're a little more excited about, like Patrick said, when in Rome,
And so you have been around a lot.
I have, yes.
Okay, what drew you to hospitality? Because it's really what it is. Front of the house is being a nice, hospitable person.
Yeah.
And Rebecca said earlier that you're like everybody's little brother.
I mean, it was one of those things, like, from when I was just a young kid. You know, my parents always told me, like, oh, you're going to be a used car salesman one day. Because I just always talked to people wow. everywhere we went. I mean, it wasn't, like, in a negative way.
Come on down to B. Wilson's, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was like, you know, I can remember we used to do a family vacation. Both my parents were teachers, so we used to do a family vacation every summer.
So do you have siblings?
I do. I have a sister.
Okay.
Yeah, and so we'd go down, and I didn't, like, talk to her, you know, because we were kids, and that's just how we are. And so we'd go to Laguna Beach in the summertime because I have some family there, and I would just go meet random kids on the beach and introduce myself, make friends, and now I had a best friend for the rest of the week that we were there.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
So well, you've got a big enough smile for it, that's for sure.
You know,
so.
I have a great personality. Very humble.
Wow.
Yeah. Me too.
That's right.
So, and how long have you been here?
I've been here for about a year and a half, almost 2 years.
That's kind of a long time.
Yeah.
You know, it's not super long, but it's right. long enough to make a difference.
Exactly.
So are you all over the property or just in one
yeah,
spot?
Yeah, I mainly am over at Rico's.
Okay.
But I do spend a lot of time here at Hole in the Wall and sometimes at the River Ranch. They kind of let me kind of float
around.
Is
River Ranch where the pool is?
Yeah.
So okay. We're
that's where that
river.
Fun bar
yeah.
is?
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. The Slims.
You just put the kids in a life jacket and an inner right. tube and go, later. Let
yeah,
me know.
Put them in the lazy river.
They put them in the lazy river, so they just keep floating around. Exactly. And you just see them every once in a while.
It's like being on the merry-go-round and you're over there with a road pop. Every time they go around. Bye.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm such a great mom. Put them in a life jacket. I know. Can you believe she's going to ask you on the floor, right? She wanted out so bad. She's like, I'm getting a scholarship, so there's no excuse. So you went to NAU.
I did, yeah. Okay. The Lumberjacks.
So did I.
Awesome. So did Jeff.
Right on.
Did you go there, too?
I did there. Yeah, I went there,
okay.
too.
Okay. Yeah. But that's not where you went to chef school.
No, I went to Art Institute of Phoenix.
Okay, so did but you get a four-year at NAU?
I went to for hospitality administration is what it was called then.
Oh,
but
we changed
you it.
To
be the
yeah.
boss.
Right, it was, okay. It's much different now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's top five
No,
now.
It was like, is when it? I it went, it awesome. Wasn't, it the school hadn't been there, like the college hadn't been there that long, so.
Okay.
And it was still kind of in new, and there wasn't many colleges that or universities that even had a hospitality program.
Most of them right. were the East Coast.
So, right, right. Yeah. It was like, you know,
Cornell had one.
I think
right.
Columbia had one. UNLV had one.
Okay, did they?
So,
well, yeah.
UNLV,
course,
cause,
yeah
but it's yeah, more of casino
Vegas.
Driven, right. but yeah. So
okay.
Wasn't
awesome.
Much.
What year did you go to AI?
I went there in 2001.
Okay.
Yeah.
Emily went to AI as well.
Yes.
Oh.
So we're all part of that hospitality.
Right.
I went
right.
to ACI.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just did mine after 20-something years in the business. I just finished last November.
Nice.
Yeah. So yeah. I just thought, you know what? I want to go back and do this. It was a fascinating experience. I
yeah.
loved it. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I was the culinary mom, and I'm like, cool, lift that for me. Because I can.
Right.
You okay, so this is, boy, I'm segueing away today. This is great. So speaking of lifting things, you were talking at our College 101 group mm-hmm. For CCAP, Careers in Culinary Arts Program, uh-huh. Of which you are a big supporter, and we thank you so much for that,
yeah, thanks.
About being a female in the industry.
Right.
And how, yeah, there's still that thing, and there's still that thing.
Right.
Even if you're in it, and you're even if you're not in it,
right.
you still know that it exists.
Right.
So I really didn't do restaurant work for very long, so I'm more on my own in personal stuff and catering. But it's very different when you're in that atmosphere.
Right.
And I saw something about that the other day, and I texted it to you.
Right.
I said, so how does this make you feel? Because they categorize and say, the best female chef.
Right.
It's like, why does that have to be the best female chef? Maybe you can kick everybody's...
Right.
Okay, so expound.
Well, I mean, I've dealt with it my entire career, even as a cook. I mean, when I was in culinary school, I was the only girl in my class.
Really?
We started
wow,
with,
really?
We started with 25 kids, and then we were down to 5 by the time I was done. So
wow.
It was, you know, I kind of knew going in that was kind of odd. And then I worked at the Arizona Biltmore when I was in school and was there for 6 years, after school too. But, you know, I was really the only girl. There was girls there, and there was, you know, I'm not saying that I was the only girl that worked there.
Right.
But, you know, I was really the only one that stuck around. And, you know,
and stuck,
really, and stuck it out. You know, people moved and people left, and so they might have done their own thing. But, you know, I was definitely, was never treated any different, I don't think, you know? I mean, I was...
Did you feel... Are you a competitive person?
I'm very competitive.
Okay, do
and
you
I
have
played
siblings?
Sports all my life, and I do have a brother, an older
okay.
brother.
Okay, so what kind of sports did you play?
I did cross-country and track
okay, so that's
and
not
soccer.
A steam, that's well, not a really team sport.
Soccer, you know,
soccer. Well, soccer is, okay.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. But I'm just a competitive person by nature, I think. Just
so did you feel that you had to make a point?
Well, I did, and I think it's because part of it that I was a girl and people... just automatically assumed I couldn't do it because it's a very physical job.
It is,
but it's
physical
funny because
job.
Cooking in general is very feminine, and your mom cooks at home. You don't like, you know, it's the stereotype of the, you know, American housewife, or that yeah. your mom's gonna cook your meal or your dinner and your breakfast, and your
and the amount
never
of
your
money and energy they made into
right.
creating aprons.
Right, right. So I kind of knew, you know, I knew that if I was gonna have an opportunity in this industry. That I had to make sure that it wasn't about me being a girl. It was about, you know, how hard I worked. And, you know, that I could keep up, so to speak, with the guys. And that, you know, I wasn't going to let them bully me, or I would lift things. Or, you know, it's you know, even to this day, there's people that are like, oh, I'll lift that for you. I'm like, no, I'm probably stronger than you, but thanks. Like, you know, I don't say that. But, you know, I mean, it's a nice gesture, and I'm glad that there's still that.
Chivalry?
You know, chivalry is certainly
suck.
Not sad. But, you know, it's absolutely one of those things, and it's like the male nurse I always equate it to. Mm-hmm. People always, you know, this is the male nurse.
It's like, yeah, but he's just a nurse.
Right. So I think it's just because it's not very common. People have to label it the female. So I'm the only female executive chef in the Valley.
And you should take that. I saw that on your CV. Right. And it's just like, you know what? You should take right. that as a,
no,
as
it's
a
great.
Good thing.
It's great. It's just funny that the fifth largest city in the nation.
I know, right?
That, you know, so it's a great accolade, absolutely.
Well, the fifth largest city in the nation with some of the most resorts
right,
in
right,
any,
right.
in any
so
state.
Either girls have figured it out that maybe they don't want to do it, and I didn't figure that out quick enough, or you know, I mean, it's a hard industry, and all the male chefs I know that have kids and have families, you know, their wives sacrifice, you know.
Of course.
Just as much as, I mean, my husband's a stay-at-home dad because of how crazy this industry is, mm-hmm. and you know, it's funny when they're like, well, what does your husband do? I'm like, well, he was a chef,
and
you know, and
he
now
got smarter
he
than you.
Got, right. So I have three kids, and, you know, it's no different than the male chef at the resort next to us.
Sure.
Or, you know, down the road.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
He's working crazy hours. I work crazy hours. So it's really no different. I just happen to be a girl. And
well, congratulations.
Well,
I think it's uber cool. Yeah. How many minutes do we have? Oh, I got to wrap it up. Look at that. Okay. My timing's even getting better. I have to be careful because I'm going to trip over my tongue and look like a complete idiot. Kind of like that line on the beach. Okay, so KWSS 93.9. Go to Facebook, like them, put it on the button in your car so that if you're driving around on Saturdays at noon, you can check into the Soup. This is Heidi Lee. We'll be right back. Hey, this is Heidi Lee. Welcome back to Into the Soup. We are at Point Hilton Squaw Peak Resort with executive chef, who is a girl, Rebecca Tillman. And welcome.
Thanks.
You having a good time?
Yeah, it's been great.
Yay!
Yeah.
And Patrick Wilson.
Who's a guy?
In an F&B position, go figure.
Right.
So on the break, Emily's phone went brrrr. And Patrick says, yeah, there's a lot of good Pokemon stops here.
Hey, I just caught a wild Venomoth, so I am pretty happy.
And you got a $10 gift card from PetSmart?
From PetSmart for catching a Pidgey.
Just remember,
you know,
we
whatever.
Are a private resort.
Okay, yeah.
So guests only. I just want to verify that.
No poke loitering.
150 people come and look for Pokemon. If you're a guest. Hunt away.
Hunt away. Just don't fall in the pool or trip right. over anything, which I'm sure so many people have done.
Right.
That's pretty
funny. Keep your
eye out. So our Soup of the Week is brought to you by CCAP Careers through Culinary Arts Program, working with underserved high school students to teach them culinary skills and competition to earn scholarships to attend culinary school and stay in the industry. And our soup is by Becca Tillman, mm-hmm. and she says to me when she sends it, I don't really write recipes, and I don't really cook off of them, so here's what I wrote down as I cooked it just now. I love it. That's how I cook. Do you have a recipe for that?
Ugh. Right. I hate writing recipes.
It's just like, here's the ingredients, and here's the method. Go to town.
Right. So when I was in North Carolina, we did a cookbook for the property, And it was fascinating seeing that process because it's a lot more difficult than what I expected it to be.
But didn't you learn how to do it in school?
We did, but it's different when you're, like, teaching it for the home cook because things are much different. And they're very, you know.
Instead of, like, a standardized recipe that makes 800 gallons of something, right?
Worst case scenario, you're going to have someone that is like, well, I followed the recipe exactly and it didn't turn out. So because we adjusted.
So did you use a pan? Did you turn on the oven first? But they have to be very specific. You're absolutely right.
Right. So you're looking at it, and there's things that I'm going to know just instinctually to do, and a cook's going to know that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you don't write it down.
Right.
You're going to know that if it says two tomatoes, well, if these tomatoes are bigger or smaller, you're going to adjust it based on that.
Right.
But the home cook doesn't necessarily do that.
That's true.
So when I'm writing a recipe for a guest or for something else, I don't dread it, but it's one of those things. I'm like, okay, what are they not going to know? Or if I say two carrots, is
Can't
it two small carrots?
Can't you just
delegate
that to somebody?
Well, yeah, but at this, you know, I want to make sure that the ingredients are in it. So we always say in the restaurants that I've worked at, you know, it's an ingredient list.
Okay.
So make sure all those ingredients are in there.
Right.
And the proportions are, you know.
Proportionate.
Mm-hmm.
But what is this soup that I'm tasting? Because it's actually very nice.
So
it's very healthy looking.
This is, obviously soups are not a huge thing in Arizona because it is a million degrees all the time.
I disagree.
So, I don't know. I just am not a big
soup on any day.
I'm just not a big soup eater, but.
My show is called
It. I know. I mean, soups are great. I'm just not a, you know, personally a big soup eater. But, you know, I kind of thought, what do I have in my refrigerator that I can make a soup out of? And that tends to be what our meals are, unfortunately, at home.
I think it's great.
So, kale. We have.
Is it a chicken stock or is it vegetable?
Chicken stock.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I used the bones from the chicken thighs that we had to make a stock really quick. And then there's carrots. What else did I put in there? Some purple cauliflower.
Yeah, I see the purple cauliflower.
Food is pretty, and sometimes you should put some pretty things in it. So chicken thighs, just because they have more flavor than regular chicken breasts.
Yeah,
amen.
And it comes with the built-in stock ingredients, which is also great. And usually cheaper, so which is better. Let's see what else is in there. There's lemon, onions.
Is there any garlic?
There's garlic,
okay.
Certainly. I'm trying to think now what I put
in there.
And
then you put some beans in here too, right?
No, I put farro.
Oh, some farro.
Yeah,
okay,
a little
that's
bit
right.
of farro. Because you want to kind of, I think a soup should have kind of hit all of the major food groups.
Okay.
You know, it's a really easy way to make sure you have vegetables, make sure you have some
sort of grain diet going on in a bowl.
Right. Plus, it needs to look good, it needs to taste good, and you know.
It's very. Oh, we didn't tell him about this. Okay, so what we're gonna do? What we have done for you because it's Saturday, is all the recipes that we have are into the soup. And when I say into the soup, you have to sing .com. So the recipe for this soup is on into the soup
.com.
Perfect.
First try.
Better. I'm loving it.
That reminds me of that Tyson commercial.
What's that?
Or what? How does it go? When I say, never mind.
I don't.
Did you lose
that? You can edit it
when
if
I
you
say
want
chicken. You or
taste,
no?
What?
No,
what?
I, never mind. It'll come to
my
me.
My bologna as a person.
It's along those lines. But it was a commercial that I had stuck in my head. When it was running, I would do this all the time.
Really?
Mostly just to my cats, but
mostly just to my cats.
That's really kind of scary. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so you have
you
another cocktail. We're
match.
Not going to talk about
com.
Because we want to save that for the fourth segment.
Okay.
So, do you cook, Patrick?
No, I would screw up a peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah. No, Patrick has cooked before.
Oh.
So
operative being has, not
has,
does now.
Well, has. Patrick has made, I remember him making a wrap one time.
I couldn't get
with a peanut butter and jelly.
No.
I lost a bet to the sous chef of Rico's, and so I had to make him lunch one day. And I attempted to make a chicken bacon ranch wrap, but I think it had
pretty hard.
Well, it had like three tortillas with it because they kept breaking. And I was like, well, if I just add another tortilla, nobody's going to notice.
Right.
But if you give me a recipe, I can follow a recipe.
Can
somewhat
you?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, somewhat okay?
Somewhat okay.
All right.
I'm much better with liquor.
Well, you know, we have to have both sides of the fence
exactly.
working here, so that's cool.
Exactly.
So aside from the herbs and the peppers and all this kind of stuff, revitalizing and rejuvenating the beverage, list, which is what everybody's doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to keep up with the Joneses in this town and, you know, any other resort town where people are coming to, especially with younger people that have disposable income.
Right.
They're like, I want to go someplace where I'm not, I don't want a daiquiri.
Right.
I want something new. Right. Well, so did you just experiment on your own or, you know, really? Did you
have a lot of aspirin? Well, I experimented a lot when I went to NAU.
Really, did they have a program?
So, my big thing is as I'm getting older and I'm starting to understand the industry more, my big thing is there's so much more to cocktails than just pouring liquor over ice.
Oh yeah.
There's so much more to it with fresh herbs and fresh berries and fresh fruits and everything. Everything you do plays a huge role into
and it's not just sweet, it's savory.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Because, yeah, I mean, when we did those bitters, you know, for me, that was a new thing because I've had bitters before, but it was back in the late 80s, and it was just like, here's some bitters. And it was so much, you're kind of like, boop.
Yep.
And so now it's just so refined that, I mean, you can actually, you have more fun having your cocktails because it's like picking from a menu.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Rather than you just saying Cuba Libre.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or Martini dry. With cocktail menus, which is a Gibson, right?
Well, if I've got somebody that is like kind of like a tough sell, right? So this person's like, oh, I drink a vodka tonic. That's what I drink. That's what I like. I said, well, do you ever drink a margarita? So watch this. And I'll make two different margaritas, and I'll do one with sweet and sour concentrate, and I'll do one with fresh lime juice. And we'll look at the color. We'll taste it and say, see, just that little difference, that little change totally changed the entire complexion of the drink.
I was never one to stomach a sweet and sour concentrate in margarita. The margarita mix you get at the grocery store that's on the lower shelf.
Right, right.
It was just, it was cloying.
There's a reason why it's
I call it the sweet and sour stomach ache.
I don't know if you guys heard that, but she says there's a reason why it's on the ground. Yeah, it's overpowering.
It's true.
And I'm just not a real sweet fan, especially with drinks.
Right.
And even desserts. If it's something sweet, it has to be berries.
Right.
Some sort of fruit for me, like not like chocolate death, you know,
right,
it's like,
right.
Too much.
Right.
So when they started coming out with these different savory cocktails using, you know, basil and jalapenos and bitters and so what else? Like what else would you use? Like ginger.
Ginger, yep.
Okay, so let's throw that out there. Ginger. How would you make something with fresh ginger? What cocktail would you do?
Well, I would use Aperol, which is a type of Campari.
Okay.
I would use gin, fresh basil. And then I would use two different kinds of ginger. I would use a ginger real, which is more of like a ginger syrup.
Okay.
And then just a ginger liqueur.
Wow.
And kind of do like an easy muddle of a basil leaf, fresh basil leaf. That way you don't want to over-muddle it and bring that into it. And then,
Did you just pull that out?
I've done it before.
Oh, cheater.
You caught me. You caught me. I was hoping you would say ginger.
You should have played it off.
Okay, shiitake mushrooms, go.
Oh, man. I'd probably use the mushroom as the vessel.
Mushroom shots all around.
Well, I think, you know, for...
Or you could stick one of the big round ones that starts with a P.
Portobello.
Portobello.
Portobello, yeah.
And then just put it on a little stick and it would be like a little martini glass.
Like a pretend martini glass.
A vegan martini glass.
What were you going to say?
Said a vegan martini glass.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kidding. You were...
We make a lot of funny noises.
So one of the initiatives that we had, you know, we're an owned asset from Hilton, so we were part of a Hilton Corporation.
Uh-huh.
So one of the initiatives that we had company-wide was a better bar program.
Okay.
So
and
obviously,
when did this start?
You know, we started it. We've had it for
January.
Since January.
Yep.
So really, we were inspired by that, and I'm not saying we like I had anything to do with it. Patrick and his
okay,
team,
but that's
and
all right. You're
the
speaking
you know
from
food and beverage team here.
Point of view.
You know, we're really inspired by just making a better program. And you're right. And, you know, cocktails are not just liquor poured over ice. And, you know, you can go to a really cheap dive bar and have a really great drink, or you can go to a high-end hotel and have a really terrible drink.
Sure.
So, you know, what can we do and how can we, you know, be more food-focused in that? So, you know, squeezing the fresh lime juices or getting the fresh herbs and things like that. So thinking of it more from a chef's perspective than just a bartender perspective.
Sure.
So that's really something
and,
that we've
and
been
now
inspired.
People, I mean, on an ad, you know, for lack of a better, I can't think of the word, add insult to injury. Now you have to pair it.
Right.
People are asking you to pair that ginger cocktail with something. So I'm thinking, you know, some sort of Asian dish with a kind of a sweet, salty sauce. You know, but I mean, I that's what I would go with first.
Right.
But so, yeah, so it makes it a little more difficult because you have a demanding clientele. Whereas before, right. everybody just came in and had a martini. Right. Or they had a champagne cocktail, or they had a glass of wine, red or white, and that was pretty much it. Or, you know, gin and tonic.
Right.
So I think it's cool. I think it's cool.
No, it's absolutely cool.
It's really cool. And the other thing that's really cool about it is that it creates more business opportunities.
Right.
For, look at AZ Bitters Lab. They came out with this entire new product because people were doing craft cocktails.
Right.
And so it was kind of a cyclical thing. What am I? What did I say?
Whoa.
That didn't sound very good, did it?
Cyclical.
Cyclical. because if they had started first, it may have created this awareness of, oh, we can use these in cocktails.
Yeah.
But then you've got the craft cocktail industry that's coming along, and they kind of jumped on that bandwagon right when it was getting going.
Right.
People were like, ooh, what can we add? Hey, here's another product for you.
Right.
You know, here's another product for you. Here's a shrub. Even though shrubs have been around forever, it's like now there's a whole bunch of people making them all the time. Or you make them in-house.
Right.
Yeah. So I think it's really fascinating.
It is. You know? I mean, and you can get as basic as down to what type of ice do you put in a cocktail. I mean,
it's a flavored ice or the ice cube.
Yeah, the size
of the ice,
itself.
The shape
of
the ice.
Those are so fun. The first time we did that was at Vertu.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you're a scotch drinker and you like scotch on the rocks, I mean, normally a question is how many ice cubes.
Because exactly.
Every ice cube is different if you use the little cut ice.
Right.
Or if you use, like, we use the big 2-inch ice cubes.
Yeah.
Because the more surface area, that ice cube's not going to break down, and then your integrity of a $30 glass of scotch is going to survive the entire
And that's new, too, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, how long did it take people to figure that out? So now you've got a brand new ice cube maker.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You know?
Right. I mean, I think at some level, you know, when you're looking at very high-end restaurants, they've always been doing things because it's a very select group of people that really knew the importance of drinking scotch the right way or even making sure the wine's a certain temperature or whatever, you know. And now people feel as though that it's more approachable.
Sure.
So they demand it as well.
Yep.
They don't have to go to, you know, 11 Madison Park in New York City to get a great cocktail.
Yeah.
They
and
can go down
to,
you know, a resort in Phoenix and get a great cocktail.
Sure. And, you know, regardless of where you are or who you are, customer's always right.
Right.
I mean, that's what drives your business. I mean, sometimes they're not, and you have to eat it, but other times, you know, you can kick them out.
Right.
But, yeah, so I think it's really, it's in this industry, especially to me, the more dynamic, the more change, the more disruption, the more opportunity it creates for jobs.
Right.
Absolutely.
And jobs, they're easy to find here if you're willing to do it.
Yep.
Right.
But to create a career out of something that's unique,
it's
like you don't have to be a chef.
Right.
You know, kudos to you. That's great. I wouldn't do it. Yeah. I couldn't. It just wasn't my temperament.
Right.
You know, front of the house hospitality takes a lot of patience, takes a lot of diligence, even a lot of practice in what you're doing in your craft. But for people to understand that there's all these different opportunities and elements to the world of culinary and, you know, imbibing that they can explore once they get their feet wet.
Yep.
Right. And I think, you know, and I think from that aspect, you know, I've had the luxury of being able to travel with working for different companies.
I know that's so cool. Let's try to touch on that in the next segment.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I didn't mean to
cut you
off.
No, I'm kind of just like cocktails really quick. But, you know, traveling to places that you go to these little dive bars because it's right next to a hotel, you know, wherever, and you meet these people who don't have any formal education, have only worked at this place, and they've been there for 50 years.
Right.
They can make a great cocktail and a great sandwich. Mm. And those are the places that people just kind of don't think about because it's not the nicest restaurant or it's not the nicest whatever. But from every level, it's crazy how great food and great drinks
can be found anywhere.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's not where you expect it to find. It's sometimes the best places.
Even
sometimes
those little
next to a check cashing place.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
There was a great Thai food restaurant when I was in North Carolina in a gas station.
Yeah.
Like, literally in the gas station, people would be like, oh, it's a gas station. Best Thai food I've ever had in my life.
And you know what? However many naysayers there are for Guy Fieri, I totally love that dude. He might be kind of a goof, and he may not be the most America's greatest chef, but he shows those gas station joints.
Yeah.
And
poaches them out, you know, and gives these people a little boost, you know? So, I mean, he could go to any little hole in the wall. And with that, we're going to cut out. This is Heidi Lee. We got one more segment to go. You're into the soup. Hey, this is Heidi Lee. You are back to Into the Soup.
Bitches.com.
I missed it. Beatcha. I missed it completely.
That's like
it'll as, come around again.
Yeah,
it'll
it will. You'll get it. You'll get it. It's time for our weekly Wet Your Whistle brought to you by Arizona, or excuse me, Local First Arizona. Shift 10. Shift 10% of your spending to those locally local folks we love so much. Supporting the culinary arts so dining doesn't go the way of Walmart. Help our economy and help our community. So our weekly Wet Your Whistles are from F&B God himself, Patrick Wilson.
That's right.
We got the jalapeno one a little before. Yeah. So let's do the watermelon one, then we'll go back to the jalapeno.
Okay, perfect. So the watermelon margarita. So what we do is we have a house-infused watermelon habanero tequila. We let that tequila sit inside the fruit for 7 days.
Okay.
And then we mix that with some fresh watermelon puree, so watermelon juice, fresh lime juice, and agave nectar.
And that's it?
That's it.
Wow.
Margaritas are very basic. I feel like sometimes we take it too complex, but it's just really three ingredients can get
like
you a
talking
great
about that salt and sweet and sour stuff that sits on the floor.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah, that's beautiful. Okay, that's and what is it called? Is it just called a strawberry margarita?
So that is
watermelon.
Yeah, so that'd be a house infused habanero watermelon margarita.
Okay, very good. And then the other one, the jalapeno one.
So that is dubbed a Jalapeno margarita.
Okay, so you didn't tell us that before. Okay.
Wow, that's good.
So that's a Jalapeno margarita. So that is some jalapeno rings with cilantro muddled with
The jalapeno.
Yeah, with any kind of Blanco tequila.
Okay.
It really doesn't matter because you're adding stuff to it. So.
Okay.
You don't want to use the
look at the big smile
stuff.
On his face. He's all excited. He's like, "Then you do this, Mom? Look what I made!"
That's right. That's right. And then some fresh lime juice and agave nectar. That's it.
Why the agave nectar? Just because it's a syrup rather than just a sugar.
Yeah,
and it's natural.
Yeah, because it's natural, so it tastes better than adding just like a bar syrup. Because sometimes bar syrup can bring a lot of different elements to the drink.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But with the agave nectar, because you're using fresh lime juice, agave nectar and fresh lime juice go so well together. Plus, your tequila is 100% blue agave in most parts, so why not put those two together?
Perfect.
Because that's where you're getting your tequila from, so why not use that plant as a sugar source also?
Very nice. So Patrick gave us the recipes, and you're going to find them all on IntoTheSoup.com.
Perfect. I told you it was going to come again.
I know, right? And so what we talked about before, so is that a homegrown jalapeno?
That is a homegrown jalapeno from our chef's garden outside of Rico's.
Nice. So do you actually tend the garden too, or
do
you have
slaves? I do when I can. I don't have slaves, but we have an amazing landscaping team who goes and picks the weeds and takes care of the bee infestations that sometimes come around. We love the bees for the garden, however.
Of course.
Yeah. So we have an amazing team of landscapers that really truly dedicate a lot of time to it. And then we have cooks
It takes a lot of time.
It's an amazing for that little tiny, you know, it's not a huge garden, but for the size of a garden, it really does take a big team to.
Well, and if you got how big is it? How many square feet?
It's probably maybe a half of the more than half the size of this room.
Okay, so probably about 200 square feet?
Yeah.
That's a good size garden.
It's a pretty good size garden.
But if you get 200 pounds of tomatoes,
right.
That's some serious staking.
Right.
Those tomatoes
that's
look crazy.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah,
they
went. Yeah.
Everybody got good tomatoes this year.
Right. So, we've been lucky, and there's things that we grew last year that didn't work this year.
Your own herbs and everything, too? So
everything.
You said you have a rosemary.
Basil, yep. Sage.
Mint.
Mint. Tons of mint.
Key for you.
All the mint for my drinks come out of our garden.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Do you use, like, a special Hilton blend of fertilizer?
No, we don't.
Is there anything?
No, we don't use a special. It's so funny. My
like whatever we pull out of the pool.
No. Oh, my gosh. No. No, it's normal dirt, Arizona dirt.
Just Arizona dirt.
Yeah. Good old dirt.
Nothing crazy. So
I used to add bone meal to my dirt.
Huh.
Yeah, when we first moved to this house, we had, so much dirt. And because we kind of leveled the ground to put in grass, which is, like, so horrible. Sorry. But it didn't have a lot of matter into it. It didn't have a lot of nutrient matter.
Right.
So I used chicken and bone meal.
Right.
And it just that, I don't know really necessarily what that bone meal did,
but
it just broke it up. And I think it just created more absorption.
Right.
But I would get tomatoes coming out my ears.
Right. We do use a little rotational cropping. So my father-in-law is a agronomist, which is a fancy name for a soil scientist.
Oh, cool.
So it's good to have him on speed dial to be able to say, why is this not growing? And then he lives in Virginia.
I was going to say, come over and do a soil test.
No, I, you know, we'll kind of FaceTime him. What does this look like? And you're like, oh, you don't have enough nitrogen. You need to plant this. So, you know, it's good to have that kind of expertise.
Yeah, that helps.
So instead of adding, you know, we didn't want to add any pesticides. It's not organic because we're not.
Well, there's a lot of organic,
but
for that.
We're not adding anything to it. But so we have to be careful of what we plant there and be sure the next thing that we plant is going to, you know, feed the soil that the other one stripped away. So
okay, awesome.
There is a reason why we have certain things planted in certain areas.
Of course.
Gotcha. Not that everyone knows that. I don't know if you knew that, but there's a certain reason why we do. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There's a method to the madness.
What were we going to talk about that I said we were going to talk about?
Traveling.
I cut you off. Traveling, okay. So I have to remember to do some PSAs, so don't let me quit before I quit. Go ahead.
So traveling is obviously a big part of this industry.
Not always for everybody. They may not always choose to, but
you know,
I
think
I
it's an important thing. You know, I think it's an important thing, and not everyone can always afford to have these lavish vacations, but it's always something for me that's been important. And you know, do we save money? Do you do the staycations? Do you do, which is, this is a great place for staycations.
I'm yes.
We're in a great start at 119
tonight.
We got
the lazy river out there.
We got a 4-acre water park. But I think, especially as a young culinarian or young hospitality-driven person, to really expose yourself to different things is hugely important, and it's been very important to my career. You know, I made a conscious decision 10 years ago, or now almost 11 years ago, to leave Phoenix. And to leave everything that I knew and my friends and family. And
you were married.
And I was married at the time.
And
two
had
kids.
And two kids, yeah.
So we, my husband's from Virginia, so we moved.
Are you sure
to,
you don't have a pair of balls?
Yeah, well, it depends on who you ask.
How about your sous chef?
No, I'm just kidding. So we went to North Carolina, knew that we were going to live on that side of the country. But, you know, just exposing yourself to different parts
and
of the
children.
World. And our children. And they were young and... You know, to be able to see different cultures and different types of food. And food is so different. And you really don't realize that until you can travel and go on vacation and maybe eat at the restaurant.
Yeah, you can go to Tennessee and have some, you know, some barbecue.
Right, but until you really immerse yourself in that culture, mm-hmm. you really don't know what you're missing. And you really feel like, wow, this one place that I lived, it really doesn't have, you know, you can go eat Asian food or, you know, other places within the area you live. But to really experience it and... You know, not that you want to move. You know, my kids will, if you ask them, they're probably like, hey, let's not move again. But, you know, we're settled
well,
now.
Well, I don't think that there was, even 20 years ago, people a realization of the diversity of food in the United States.
Right.
And it just wasn't appreciated.
Right.
Because people didn't understand it, and they weren't exposed to it the way they are with all these food shows on. And so they're like, wow, I really want to go try that.
Right.
Whether you're in Philly and having a cheesesteak sandwich or you're down in Louisiana having Cajun.
Right.
You know, like really authentic stuff because people know now.
Right.
It's kind of like the craft cocktail movement. It's like, okay, we know, you know, if there's not any Philly gumbo in here, we get it.
Right. And, you know, and I think it's a good thing to, you know, even if I always tell students that maybe can't afford to travel, you know, look up the restaurants that you'd want to go to and read their menus. And if you don't understand the verbiage on that menu, look it up. Because that helps you in the future. If you don't understand a technical term or, you know, maybe something that, you've never heard of, that's a really great opportunity to kind of travel without traveling.
Mm-hmm. And so it increases your knowledge.
And increases your knowledge. Yeah. And, you know, all those things are very beneficial. So when you do get exposed to them, eventually, hopefully, you've already know a little bit about
and
it.
And it's so much more fun than reading a food dictionary.
Right.
You know, find something that you're applying it to rather than, you know, read and memorize and, you know, regurgitate it in a test.
I remember when I was in seventh grade, I took French. And we went to this French restaurant here that's not here anymore. I don't remember the name of it. But our teacher was like, we're going to go to this fancy French restaurant, and here's the menu, and you have to order in French. And so as like a seventh grader dressing up, you know, going to this fancy French restaurant, I just remember like a carrot puree on my plate to this day. I still remember. And it was so pretty.
Yeah.
And it's something where I was like, you know, as a seventh grader exposed to food, you know,
internationally,
you know, or at least what I thought was really fancy, but it was amazing. And it really was something that I was like, wow, you know, it's a carrot puree, right? Think about it now. But as a seventh grader, I was like, that's amazing.
Yeah. But you have to start with the basics.
Right.
Yeah, just like all these kids.
Right.
Just like all these kids. It's like, yeah, but I encouraged them all to do it. I traveled the world cooking.
Right.
Yeah. And I didn't even know I could do it. That's how I learned to cook traveling. And it was the greatest thing I ever did. Right. Did you travel much?
I lived in Texas for a couple of years.
What's wrong with that?
No, my husband and I are going to England and Europe in like almost 3 weeks. Oh, so we're cool. So excited and nice. You know, like the most important, you know, the most exciting thing, we're like looking up restaurants and made reservations at some places. And, you know, like we were talking about the other night, I'm like, it's so silly that we're going to go, you know, travel, but the biggest things for us was eating at restaurants, you know, like, but that's kind of our life.
Well,
I'll
tell you what, it's better than churches.
We'll probably
they all start to
too,
look the same.
Travel with a historian and you're like, can we just go eat?
Right, right. So. But it's exciting, you know, to be able to
tired
go.
Of donating.
Right.
So right. True. I want to donate to here.
Right. Yeah.
You should travel. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
26.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay, you got a lot of time.
I do, yeah.
Travel, travel, travel.
I know, I think my dad and I are planning a trip to Dublin in January for
my
birthday.
Oh, very great.
Right on.
Yeah,
are you Irish?
Trip. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so we just found our whole
Wilson's
heritage,
a rather
so.
Dubious yeah. name. You're not really sure.
No. Yeah, kind of like a mutt. You know?
A kind of mutt, like Heinz 57?
Heinz 57, oh, I think
okay.
that's what it's called, yeah.
Okay, cool. Do you have a bloodline that you can identify?
After my Ireland, my family generation, yeah.
She's very Irish.
Are you Irish?
Scottish.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. German.
I don't know. I think they bred with the Irish,
Heidi.
Too.
It's either that or I'm Swiss. I think I'd be rather be neutral. I'll go with that one. Do you have anything else that you would like to talk about? I know you're going to do CCAP. You're going to be a mentor?
Yeah. So
for the
I work
Harvest
with
Moon Feast?
Paradise Valley High School.
Okay.
Which, it's amazing.
And have you done it before? You
I did it
last
year.
Year.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. It's an amazing group of kids. So an amazing teacher and even a more amazing kitchen. That kitchen over there is
oh,
nuts.
Oh, serious? Well,
it's
Paradise
nuts.
Valley. That's
well, it's
awesome.
Brand new. It's like a... It's better than probably any kitchen I've ever worked at in my life. It's
serious?
It's pretty fantastic.
Wow.
Switching over to Paradise Valley.
It's pretty fantastic.
Looks like
so
I
those kids
go
are very lucky.
They are very lucky. How yeah. many did they have in that program?
There's a lot. I mean, it's a pretty yeah. big program for that school.
Do you know, so. Have you thought about what you're going to do or have you even gotten to that step yet?
No, we haven't. We're going to wait until school starts and then kind of get
oh,
a,
that's right. School's
yeah.
not even open. Oh,
right.
Your kids
my
started
kids start
today,
school
then.
Today. So.
Like, wow.
I know.
But CCAP's a really cool program. So this thing, it's called CCAP Harvest Moon Feast, is on November 14th, mm-hmm. and it's at Desert Foothills, which is this really cool, sophisticated, chic, country, rustic barn.
Right.
With chandeliers.
That's so
wear,
exciting.
Wear appropriate yeah. footwear. And then I think there are, right now we have like 20 participating schools mm-hmm. across the state of Arizona, not just here in the Valley. So you've got Flag, you've got some of the... reservation communities that are participating, and they get a mentor chef like Chef Tillman, and they come in and they work with the kids to create an appetizer. Nice. And mm-hmm. so we have 200 people, 200 attendees, so you still tickets are just getting started to sell, so you can find them on
IntoTheSoup.com.
And until August 25th, those tickets are $125 per person. After that, they're $150.
Right.
And so they go in with these wonderful chefs that participate with their time, and you do it a lot. I know
right.
you're very philanthropic. I couldn't say cyclical, but I could say philanthropic. And so these kids get to participate in this amazing dinner. And so it's a walk-around affair. Mm-hmm. And we'll have all sorts of vendors' tables, and we have beautiful gifts and giveaways and silent auction. Mark Tarbell, Bo McMillan mm-hmm. will be hosting. They're uh-huh. a great little duo. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we'll go. I know we'll have Mark on the show eventually. I don't know about Bo because he's Mr. Talk About Travel.
Right,
you know,
I
he's
know.
With his little hat.
Right.
He's Scottish too. Right. He's a great guy. How much time do I have?
Wrap it up.
Okay, I'm wrapping it up. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you absolutely
thank you.
For coming
thanks
out.
Thanks for hosting.
Here.
That was
fun.
Really great. It was lovely yeah. to meet you both. You and I met just briefly. So
yes, yeah. this is good. Thank
good.
You.
I'm glad you liked it. So make sure to spread it out there. So next week we're having a little food porn pajama party at Christina Barueta's house. She's hosting seven of us: me, Emily, Debbie Emblem-Wolvos, Joni Simon, Taryn Jeffries, Janelle Bass Bonifield, and somebody's intern that they wanted to bring. Can you say Uber? Will you drive me home?
No.
No, I think it's going to be a potluck. But we're going to talk all about the industry and everybody's participation in it as media and food lovers. So that's going to be fun. And Steve Burns is coming back to run the board.
Yeah, Yee! Steve.
So maybe we'll both take Uber home.
Yeah, we'll just use a Steve.
We'll just use Steve. Let's just use Steve. We love you, Steve.
It's my birthday anyway. Let's not forget that.
Oh, that's... Oh! Emily's birthday. She's going to be 25.
I'm taking donations.
At IntoTheSoup.com. We'll have fun when we come back next week. So take care of each other. Take care of yourselves. This is Heidi Lee.